It's Here and Now.
Please join me in welcoming John Waters and Robin Young.
Believe me, the applause is for John Waters. Last week, his fans packed the Brattle Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts for a delightful evening at a Harvard Book event with filmmaker and author John Waters. His films include the classic gender-bending favorites Hairspray and Pink Flamingos. His latest book, Carsick, tells the tale of his trip hitchhiking across the country 2 years ago to meet America. How would America respond to this then 66-year-old, joyously gay, mustachioed, genteel eccentric from Baltimore with the cardboard sign reading, "I am not a psycho"? What about America's police force? What if he was arrested for hitchhiking?
My assistant made this thing she called my fame kit, which was a little thing so I could whip out my Academy of Arts and Science card and say, hey, I vote for the Oscars. I must have immunity here, don't I? No.
As it turns out, several policemen gave John a ride, as did farmers and families and a 20-year-old Republican city councilman in a Corvette who became like a son to him. But the first two-thirds of his book are his wildest fantasies about what might happen hitchhiking. This being John Waters, the Pope of Trash, we can't share many of those stories with you, but suffice it to say they feature sex with aliens and freak shows and characters that could be in his movies in best and worst-case road trip scenarios. Even without those, this might be a conversation for mature ears.
As my assistant said, I can't tell the difference between the best and the worst. Because I realize not everybody wants to have sex in the middle of a demolition derby race in the car. But
that was in the best list.
Yeah, and the worst, I'm also with a gay, insane queen that is poisoning straight people because they do the electric slide.
This is where you ask, is it possible to be gay and think that someone is too gay?
Yeah, well, that's true. They call that gay shame in London. They have Gay Shame Day, which is really funny. It's all like hip gay people making fun of straight gay people. And I went to, they sponsored the anti-Pope march. This one lesbian woman was like, what do we want? And, and all the gay people yelled back, rational thought. No revolution is going to start with that cry, I promise you.
I think, if I'm in the same area, Divine, your childhood friend and then star of many of your films, commented to you, he was unsure of Richard Simmons.
He felt homophobic for the first time. But one of the ideas actually about the carnival was an idea for a movie.
This was the freak show that you joined.
Yeah, they put me in as a freak show as a man with no tattoos.
Why did you put yourself in that story?
I love a freak show, and I used to go to them at all, and they obsessed me as a kid. I went at the Timonium Fair, which was the state fair in Maryland. They had to do 10 shows a day, and I remember seeing them, and I don't know, the fat lady. I used to go in that tent by myself and just stand there and look at her. And I felt bad for her, but I looked. I got my money's worth. And, you know... and because of her, I'm on the stage today. Really. So I imagined extreme show business, which that is, certainly. Yeah.
And you imagine that this book that you're going to, you know, write after you make this trip, it could be the modern-day version of 1961's Black Like Me.
Well, Black Like Me, people forget. And that book could never come out today because it would be politically incorrect. Because a white guy made himself look black and went around the country and saw how he was mistreated. That I have that in the original Hairspray movie. Penny's reading it while she's waiting in line. That was a hugely successful book at the time. And this, in a way, was poor like me. That's what afraid it was going to be like. People thought I was a homeless man. People tried to give me money all the time, which was incredibly moving to me. But technically, I could have called a helicopter to come get me, really. I had a credit card, you know. I did do it for real. I mean, I almost spent the night in the woods one night. I had to brush my... I was like crackers in Pink Flamingos. I was living in gas station lavatories, like Pink Flamingos. And they say, isn't it... Let's live in gas station lavatories, Mom. And I thought, it's not as glamorous as I made it sound.
He says, because we need to make our life filthier.
Yeah. I remember being in that Taco Bell, and I've been standing there for 10 hours. But once it's over, you forget. The thing you keep repeating over and over is only takes one car, which is true. And then you get a great ride, and that 10-hour is kind of wiped out of your memory because the people that pick you up are so great. At least everyone that picked me up was great. But they weren't extreme in a way like I imagined them in the book.
I want to ask you about that because you quote Ming Stoll in Pink Flamingo when she says she's tired of driving around looking for female hitchhikers to pick up, kidnap, rape, and impregnate with babies that could be sold on the black market.
Yeah, that's extreme.
So I was wondering if the fact that you created these characters might make you, John Waters in particular, a little more afraid of going out there.
No, it didn't in a way. I've always believed in the goodness of people. I teach in prison. They all said, don't do it. Carry a gun. Take mace. Are you kidding? I guess they're around so many criminal elements that they fear.
But nobody hitchhikes anymore.
No, I saw one the whole way.
Yeah.
And I told the kid that was driving, don't pick him up. I know, that's terrible, isn't it? I guess I'm not a communist hitchhiker. I don't share.
What do you think that is? Do you think that the country has changed that much that we should be afraid of hitchhiking, or that we just are so assaulted all the time with stories about what might happen to us if we hitchhike that we...
Well, I think the Texas Chainsaw Massacre hitchhiker really made people never want to hitchhike again. The Hitcher, the show. Mm-hmm. Hitchhiking is always vaguely sexual. I collect softcore porn books from the 50s and 60s that have hitchhiking as a theme. There are so many of them.
In fact, you thought that all truck stops, that hitchhiking was gay.
Well, hitchhiking gay? It kind of is, in a way. A big truck did pick me up, a giant 80,000-pound truck. And as I climbed up those steps, I never felt gayer, believe me, when I got in that truck. And that driver, he was great. He was really nice, and he said his daughter had been in Hairspray. And he could not have been nicer. A lot of people, I said I was a film director, they go, mm-hmm, yeah. That I was just a homeless person.
Or they thought you were Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, well, that was in the fictional part, right.
No, I just have to finish that. You said, no, it's not Steve Buscemi, it's Don Knotts.
Well, no, because when I told Steve Buscemi, everybody thinks I'm him. He said, they think I'm Don Knotts. I kind of put those stories all together, right.
How do I know if I love you?
John Waters at our Harvard Bookstore event at the Brattle Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts. This is the music of his Real Ride No. 9, the indie band Here We Go Magic. When they picked him up in Ohio in their van, he said cheerfully, "It's the Manson family." They said back, "It's John Waters." They tweeted it out. It went viral. John Waters is somewhere across America. His book about hitchhiking across America is called Carsick. It's half fantasy, half reality. You're listening to Here and Now.
Sweet to the touch, and you smell like a flower. How do I know if I know you?
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It's Here and Now, and if you've just joined us, we're sharing some of our conversation with filmmaker and author John Waters at the Brattle Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts, a Harvard Bookstore event promoting John's latest book. But his fans lined up to talk to him about his legendary career, film classics like Hairspray and Pink Flamingos, in which the overweight and the overlooked are given their moment in the sun. Here's one fan, 22-year-old Elizabeth.
Well, I went to film school, and that's kind of how I found out about you. You were taught in experimental media
courses. I was taught in film? That's amazing, because I was thrown out of film school, you know. And it's changed so much that when I went to film school, they would have never allowed me to make Pink Flamingos, I promise you.
You're a weirdo. Like,
that's my job. Yep.
It's very inspiring for other people who are weirdos, so
thank you. Thank you.
Another young man spoke for his mother.
I told her I was coming here, and she said to make sure to thank you for Hairspray. So,
well, good. I'm glad she liked it. You know, it's always amazing to me that one movie I made could have... Because to me, the morals and the story of Hairspray is the same as Pink Flamingos, really, in a weird way, that outsiders win when they embrace, and they're attacked by jealous people that don't like them, stupid people. It is kind of the same. But Hairspray, I think I accidentally hit on something that a fat girl then stood for every kind of outsider in every country in the world. People could do it. And today, I think Hairspray did help change that. I think that big girls now, I don't see any of them that look pitiful. They're ready to fight. They look great. It's radically changed, I think. No one even tried out for Hairspray except a few people. And we made Crybaby. Really? Hundreds of girls came to try out big girls. So I think that has changed.
Well, my mom thanks you.
Oh, well, thank her. Are you kidding?
So much.
Tell her she bought me this jacket.
John Waters says he's convinced that after two films and a Broadway show, Hairspray will never go away. He fully expects it to be a show on ice. But his new book is Carsick, John Waters Hitchhikes Across America, a Homeric journey he undertook 2 years ago when funding fell through for a new film. The first two-thirds of the book are fantasies about what might happen. For instance, a body part in his nether regions begins to sing.
That is not going on my show.
Why? It's joyous.
But then John writes about what really happened, including he was picked up by Corvette Kid, a 20-year-old Republican city councilman from Maryland on his way to a subway to get lunch, who picks John up and drives him 4 hours to Ohio, then days later drives 48 hours straight to pick him up again in Denver. So this gay 66-year-old filmmaker and his straight Republican sidekick become the Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid of the road.
We didn't talk about politics. He said, basically, my job is potholes. They're not Democrat or Republican issue. He just was on an adventure. Why not? We were such an odd couple. And now people try, a swinger, three swingers we ran into, and I recognized him. He didn't know what it was. And I went to the bathroom, and he gave him his phone number. And so later, they're tweeting him, let's all get together. I thought, well, what do they want? Like a five-way grandpa, grandson? Oh. What are they looking for here? Right, with three swingers and me and the kid, you know.
But what's lovely is how the same guy, you, who had all these fantasies, just wild fantasies, about what might happen. And at the end, this John Waters, yeah, is someone who's very concerned that 20-year-old is going to go out and do a fraction of what you fantasized about.
Well, worse, what's not in the book, at the end, he stayed with me for 3 days. We went out to
dinner.
In San
Francisco.
Yeah, and I heard him giving an interview to his hometown paper saying, oh, you know, we just went shopping out to eat. And I thought, do you know what that sounds like? No. mean, oh. But he had to drive home by himself. And I was like a worried father. And I really felt like a concerned dad when he was driving home.
Or like a conservative person. Like if he had done even a fraction of the things that you talk about in the book that you did when you were a kid, you would have been upset.
Well, I would have been worried for him. You know, he said, I'm just going to go out. And I thought, fine, I don't blame you. You know, but then I didn't see him in the morning. I think, oh, my God, he picked up a hooker. He's cut up in the bedroom. I don't know. But no, he just hung out for a while. But we were an odd couple, certainly. People that pick up hitchhikers are great people. I think the minute they stop, they're a little better. They want to help people. Most people that have picked up hitchhikers, something's happened to them. They've gotten through something, and they want to help a fellow man. Even the ones that knew who I was, they never asked me celebrity questions. Mm-hmm. They didn't say, like, what's Johnny Depp really like? I wanted to hear what they had to talk. I wanted to know what it was like, you know, is beef feed or chicken feed better at the farm? And they would tell me all
this. From the 80-year-old farmer who...
Well, the 80-year-old farmer told me about how hay, if it gets too dry, spontaneously combusts or rat. I forget. I didn't know that. The other man told me that if you give baby pigs M&Ms, they will recognize you and follow you around forever. So
here's a young mother with her baby in the baby seat.
Yeah.
Picking you up.
Yeah, a minister's wife picked me up. And the first thing she said to me is, are you gay? And I said, well, yeah. And she said, good. And good why? Like I wouldn't be a rapist or something? I don't know what she meant by good. No, she was lovely.
So what do you think at the end of this trip, if we're still on the Homeric theory, you know?
Yep.
So were you changed?
Yeah, I was changed because I really, you know, my whole life I've fled the middle. I get along in prison, and I get along in Cannes. It's a shopping center I got trouble in, right? In the middle with mall walkers. But now, these were people that were in the middle, and I think middle America has changed very, very much. I think people are way more open-minded. I think it's because of the internet. I think they're exposed to so much. All the men talked about how much they love their wife, which I don't hear all the time in art communities. You know, none of them, they all like to work. And they hate freeloaders, and that's the odd thing. Hitchhiking is freeloading, really. But I offered to pay for stuff, and nobody would ever take it. They were proud. They really tried to help people. They said, I look like an old guy hitchhiking. I was, especially in that outfit with a baseball hat. I look like a serial killer.
What did the hat say?
The hat said scum of the earth, which was which, as many movie buffs knows, was a great exploitation movie.
But do you think now you're ready to make a Bergman sort of quiet, physically
no.
different? No.
Well, a movie? No. Well, my movie I was trying to get made was a children's Christmas movie called Fruitcake about a happy family of meat thieves. So is that mid-America? I don't know. Where I live in Baltimore, meat thieves are everywhere. You know, they knock on your door and say, meat man, you come down, you say, I want a pork butt and a pound of fried chicken. And then they'd go shoplift it and you pay half what's on the label. So I don't know that I've changed so much. I think everybody else has changed some and more to my direction.
By asking that question, I meant, you know, you do say at the end, if you ever hear anybody again mocking the flyover people.
No, the flyover people. Well, I think the other, you know, liberals still use the word white trash, which I find incredibly offensive and as offensive as the N-word. And flyover people is even worse because it's classist and condescending. And so I always hated that word. But after I hitchhiked across the country and was with all, quote, flyover people, I really think that term makes you a major a-hole to ever enter it. Yeah, major jerk to ever enter. You can use that word.
Yeah. Thank you, yeah. John Waters.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Part of our conversation with filmmaker and author John Waters at the Brattle Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts, a Harvard Bookstore event. His book starts with the way he imagines hitchhiking can be. It ends with the way it really was. But in every chapter, there's a song playing on the radio. This is Johnny C's Hitchin' and Hikin'. There's Marvin Gaye's Hitchhike, Bobby Curtola's Hitchhiker. And Jeremy, the book again is called Carsick. It'll either convince you to pick people up this summer, or because of the fantasy parts, you will swear you will never do it again.
You know, I had to do it last year. I went hiking at a park outside of New York City and ended up at the wrong side of the park and had to hitchhike back to the car. So it was only a five-minute hitchhike.
Did you hold up a sign saying, I'm not a psycho?
No.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBR Boston. In association with the BBC World Service, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art with Jim Hodges. The show features mirror mosaics, walls of flowers, and denim tapestry. Now on view, ICABoston.org.